Bear Valley, where rugged men find more than a safe haven, they find their mates. The moment I see Adelaide Spencer, I know she's my mate. Neither of us has given ourselves to another because we were both waiting for a moment like this. Her and me, under the stars, the night spread out in front of us full of hope and a thousand tomorrows. But our pasts have collided in ways she doesn't know, and when she finds out, she'll never forgive me. Not for the mountain man I am, or for the bear I've been. But damn, I need her, want her, crave her. When our valley is threatened by outside forces, I'll do whatever it takes to keep her safe. To prove that I am more than the sum of my past mistakes. That I can be her future. Chapter 1. Gunner. Grass and brush crunch under my paws as I make my way up the steep ridge that overlooks Bear Valley. Claws dig into the hard, rocky earth as I tilt my head up, inhaling deeply. Every sense is heightened, my animal form overriding the guilt that I carry around like shackles binding me to a past I can't erase. Guilt that's even deeper than the ugly scars that mark my body. Long lines of missing fur expose the ugly scars. But it's what the Winchester did to my human form that has me unable to look at my reflection, knowing my sins are permanently etched into my skin. It's been months since I've let my bear loose. I rarely free myself from the noose that seems to tighten more and more as the years pass, instead of loosening like my brothers said it would. But what the hell do they know? They aren't responsible for killing a man. I let out a deep and distressing growl before shaking my head back and forth and starting back up the ridge. My animal isn't happy about how long it's been since I've freed him, and I know it'll be hard to rein him back in. In this state, I'm free, bound only by the laws of nature. I can understand why some men have let their bear consume them, never shifting back. Maybe that's what scares me, that one day I'll just give in and let the animal take over completely, to allow the untamed part of my soul free and shake off the shackles of the past permanently. I don't have much of a future, even with the scars. The feral part of me will never allow me to know the gentleness of a woman's touch, the hope that comes with a potential mating. I close my eyes and inhale, reveling in the smells and sounds that surround me, ridding myself of the restlessness that rules my human form. But the small amount of tranquility I'm able to achieve is suddenly interrupted. The sharp sound of metal crunching and wood splintering farther down the ridge sets a wave of adrenaline coursing through my body, causing my bear to go on high alert. But it's the angry growl of a grizzly followed by women's screams that have me sprinting in the direction of the commotion, my paws slapping heavily against the rocky ground. The wild call of a grizzly in this part of the woods would have the Kodiak in me racing for a fight in any situation, but the terrified shrieks of the women heighten my innate need to protect. Rushing down the ridge, I don't hesitate a second as I barrel through the trees and see the large grizzly with its front paws on the hood of the blue Civic that's crashed into a large cedar. The four passengers inside scream louder as I slam headfirst into the grizzly's side. Bigger than me by at least 40 pounds, the bear is still no match for the momentum I have from flying down the side of the mountain, and we both tumble away from the vehicle, claws and teeth biting into flesh. The engine of the car rumbles as the driver tries unsuccessfully to start the vehicle. I'm too preoccupied with the crazed grizzly that now circles me, foam dripping from its massive jaw, dark eyes rabid, to take much notice of the terror-filled shrieks. I roar and call to any of my brothers who might be nearby. This is Kodiak territory, and while most of my family are far from earshot, the grizzly doesn't know it. At any moment, more Kodiaks could appear around us, ready to defend what belongs to us. The grizzly pounds the ground with his front paws twice before growling and turning, then disappearing into the thick brush. Normally, I'd go after him, trailing the bear until I knew it was off our land. But the feminine panicked cries from the smashed-up Civic has the man in me in protective mode. I have no idea what the hell the women were thinking being up in these parts alone, in a car better suited for the city than Alaskan terrain. And even if they can get a signal up here, they'll be alone for hours before roadside assistance can get to them.